Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bill. I thought this interview was so good, I wanted you to hear it again. So enjoy.
And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and I love scripture, as you know, and I also love stories that stick in my brain. And my guest today, Lauren Green, has figured out a way to put both of them together in her amazing new devotional called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. Lauren is the chief religion correspondent for Fox News Channel and has been with the network since 1996. She's also the author of Lighthouse Faith, God as a Living Reality in a World Immersed in Fog, and Light for Today. She hosts a podcast, Lighthouse Faith, and has a weekly faith radio feature on Fox News Radio. She was born here, right here in Minneapolis, and I've had the pleasure of knowing Lauren for a long time. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, it's a long time.
Yeah.
I've been at Fox for like since the very beginning, 1996. So,
yeah. I want to start by asking you to talk about your mom and dad.
Oh my goodness, my mom and dad. You knew them both, right?
I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah. My mom and dad, I think today I realize how incredibly blessed and lucky I was to have parents like that. You know, when you grow up, you don't appreciate your parents, but I'll tell you, you know, my dad and my mom, I'm the youngest of five children. They were married for almost 52 years before my father passed. He worked the same job for about 40 years. You could probably set your clock by when he came home from work every day.
Mm-hmm.
His main thing is that he just loved his family, loved God, and just wanted to provide for them and be there for them. Thought my mom was the most beautiful woman in the world from the day they were married to the day he died. You know, and my mom just, as you know, passed away a couple of years ago. And, you know, I think part of the reason why she even lasted after my dad is because she loved her kids and needed to be there for them. And so just incredibly blessed. In fact, and I'm just going to use a little, I think it was Nancy Piercy's latest book, The War on Toxic Masculinity, talks about, you know, the haves and the have-nots. What they were, you know, 50 years ago was an economic difference between people who had a lot of money and people who didn't. But that has changed today. And the haves are now the children who come from intact families. And that the have-nots are now, it's not economic anymore. It's social. You know, the haves are the ones with the intact families, and the have-nots are the ones that are coming from broken families, and that's really very sad.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, Lauren, tell me again how old your mom was when she went to be with the Lord. Was she 96?
She was 98.
98,
she was
okay.
90, yeah, and 98, and, you know, we hoped she was going to make it to 100, but it just wasn't God's plan, but she just was so wonderful. Really, it was just the last couple of years it started to break down. I think COVID was a part of that, you know, just the isolation, and things got really bad. But I'm glad that, you know, she had this wonderful life. Even at 84, she was learning how to cross-country ski in Stowe, Vermont. I mean, imagine.
I can't. I remember about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, you were here in studio to do an interview with me, and your mom came along. And your mom walked in carrying your suitcase, because I think you just come from New York. And I thought, wow, your mom's 94 and she's carrying your suitcase. I thought, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how that worked. My mother was actually younger than my oldest sister. I don't know how that worked. I don't know how that's possible, but she actually was younger than my oldest sister.
Yeah. Now, as we look at your devotional, Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse, you always start with a passage of scripture, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And then you connect it to a story that really, the kinds of stories that get lodged in your brain, and you can use them as connecting points
when you have conversations with other people. And the first one I looked at, of course, was March 2nd, which is talking about your parents. And it says we don't choose our parents. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to ask you about mom and your mom and dad, just because it's right here in the book.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, when I actually spoke to, I gave a speech down in Florida a few weeks ago, and I talked about that, how none of us choose the day we're born. We don't choose our parents. We don't choose a lot of the things that are connected with who we are today. And so that's why you really do have to look at your presence here on earth as such a blessing. But my parents were just these people. And I think one of the things that's really helpful as you get older and as you become deeper into your faith is that you see your parents as people, as children, and made in the image of God. And there's a certain transition that happens between being a child and being an adult, that you now see your parents as people, and that you're kind of all brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as being, you know, your parents. But I have to say that, you know, just the warmth of a home is something that is such a blessing. It doesn't matter the home. I remember, you know, playing outside in the summertime and just under the protection of this house in the backyard, knowing that, you know, when the streetlights came on, had to go home, had to go inside, but it was still home, and it was a loving home. And it's what I think every child really wants and what really craves. But at the same time, when you don't have that, you still have this Heavenly Father. You still have this parent that is the perfect parent. As perfect as my parents were and as wonderful as they weren't perfect parents. And you realize that even after your parents go to be with the Lord, that you still have this Heavenly Father, this perfect parent that you can always rely on. I was lucky in that I had a father who probably closely mirrored my Heavenly Father. And it is because of that, because of my earthly father, that my Heavenly Father has so much, I can have so much affection for him and so much love and so much appreciation and so much warmth and comfort from that, because I know my own father, my earthly father, was such a great example for me. So, I mean, you know, parents are just, you know, my parents would do anything for me. My parents did do anything for me. They gave up so much they sacrificed so much just to give their kids everything that they could possibly have, and regretted that they couldn't give them more. And now it's like, and I regret not being able to give them more, because they gave me so much more. But I remember the most fun thing that I remember with my parents is that, because I'm the youngest of five, I was kind of the only child at home in my early 20s. I'm still home, right?
Yes.
But we used to go on a Friday night date, me and my parents. We would go to Applebee's, and then we'd go to see a movie. Usually it's at 50th in France, mm-hmm. and go see the movie that was there. And that was our date. And I loved that. And I said, you know, there's no date I could imagine that would have been better than going out with my parents.
That's so sweet.
You know, it really was. It's like I wasn't missing anything. I remember seeing Hunt for Red October with my parents. And just enjoying it, because that's, you know, I felt no need to, you know, have a date on Friday night because I have my parents.
That's so beautiful. Lauren Green is my guest. She's the chief religion correspondent for Fox News. You probably know her from there. She's written a brand new devotional called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. And it always starts with a passage of scripture, and it's connected to a beautiful illustration, a beautiful story that will help you not only remember the passage, but also give you an incredible connecting point with someone you might be in conversation with later that day, or maybe over a weekend, or at a family reunion, or over a lunch with someone at business. And you're going to have a lot of opportunities to open doors to conversations, because stories told well stick with you. And Lauren's got quite a collection of these stories in her devotional. You can tell that she spent all kinds of time cultivating these stories and putting them down and connecting them to scripture in a very meaningful way. It's called Light for Today. Lauren, maybe you would be kind enough to just talk about what prompted you to write a devotional. There's a lot of devotionals out there.
Yeah, there are. And I read about four or five of them daily. And this came out of the Lighthouse Faith book, where I continued to do my research, continued to read scripture every day. And I really saw it as a chance to know God more and better. And just because I wrote the book, it didn't end my fellowship and my journey with the Lord. And so I would write these thoughts for the day, and sometimes they would get posted on my Facebook page. And after about 2 or 3 years of these thoughts for the day, I had about 450 of them. And, you know, Broad Street approached me about doing a devotional. They had no idea I'd already written these things. And I said, I think I have the source material. But I think the important thing is the reason why you start out with scripture is because, first of all, the scripture, Bible says, God's word says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So you want to get scripture in your brain and to know that God's walking with you is an everyday occurrence. It's not just once a week. It's every day. And God has something to say to us every day about our lives. We are to connect with him every day and through prayer, but it's also through the actions and the relationships we have in our lives. It's not just, it's more than, you know, at church on Sunday. You know, think about it. You know, you need spiritual nourishment. I mean, physically, you need physical nourishment, right? You don't eat once a week. So why would you only go and read scripture or have spiritual nourishment once a week? You need spiritual nourishment every single day. And so I think what I really liked is, and you know, I was a member of, I still am a member of Redeemer Presbyterian. Dr. Tim Keller was a real big influence on my spiritual walk. And he opened up my eyes to the fact that you could see God in just every single kind of thing, you know, through relationships, through the small things, through the large things, it's usually through the little increments of life that you have a possibility to walk towards God, even towards him and get closer to him through everything that you say to people, for maybe, you know, some things that you don't say to people that you just keep behind.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that we're made in his image, and we are called to walk on this journey and this path with his light. You know, as Psalm 36:9 is one of my favorites. With you as the foundations of life, in your light we see light. And that seems like a paradox, but honestly, that just describes it perfectly. In his light, we see light. The perfect light sheds light on and illuminates our world so that we don't always see perfectly, and we can't until we see in his light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lauren, I want to ask you a little bit, because I know my audience is very curious to hear about how you can balance your Christian faith with your career in journalism.
You know, in many ways it's much easier, because all of us live under an authority, whether we realize it or not. And if your authority is the living God, then there is no question about how you should live your life, what you should and should not do, and how you treat people. There's no question about that. If the authority in your life is making sure that you've got a paycheck coming in, that can create a conflict of interest. But journalism is such a wonderful profession where you really are called to see people who, as they are, as made in the image of God, as first and foremost. No matter if I agree with somebody, if I don't agree with them, I have to see first that they're made in God's image. And in that way, how I step out and do my job means I'm going to make sure that their story is told in the proper way.
Mm.
I'm going to respect them because they are, you know, God's image bearers. Now, I think when it comes to, you know, the kinds of stories that you would do, or as you would, you can, you could not do, or you may not want to do, I think it's easier working in a place like Fox News Channel, because so many people there, so many of the talent are people of faith, and they understand faith, and they value it. So in that way, I have there's no conflict in being a person of faith and working as a journalist. But I don't think there ever should be, being a person of faith. I think I can see where you might have problems if you work for a more liberal organization who sees other things as being an objective truth. And if that would conflict with what I know is an objective truth, which is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That is the truth. That is an objective truth, an objective standard. Now, I know that most people, well, not most people, I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but do not expect me to violate that because, Jesus says, if I deny him before man, he will deny me before his heavenly Father. So I'm very, very clear about that. But I think that being a Christian actually makes me a better journalist because I'm much more forgiving of other people's, I would hope that I'm much more forgiving other people's mistakes because I know that I'm a sinful person and I'm saved by the grace of God. So, and I would ex this is my I've got a cat back here.
I hear the
He's my alpha male, and he's very
cat.
upset that some other male is talking to me. So he's going to make himself known. And if I put him into a room, he will actually make more noise.
I understand that. Well, Lorna, I love that you've articulated that the lens that you look through when you look at people to interview is image bearer of God. So that is a very, I'm very glad you articulated that. Lauren Green is my guest, and she has written a new devotional called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. We're going to take a little break and be right back to hear lots more about Lauren's devotional in just a minute.
Anne texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Anne has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Anne will hear your story and be encouraged as well.
Welcome to the show. If you just joined me, Lauren Green is my guest. She is the chief religion correspondent for Fox News, the Fox News Channel, and has written an amazing devotional called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. And I love the scripture. I love the story. She's done an amazing job of connecting these two. And if you're looking for a devotional that is going to not only bring God's word every day, but also give you something to chew on for the entire day and give you conversation topics to have with people, you're going to be able to retell some of these stories, and they are going to connect to people. So, again, it's called Light for Today. Now, Lauren, right before we went to break, we were talking about your job as a journalist at Fox News and how you can walk out your faith. You've got so much fellowship at Fox News Channel, which is encouraging, but also the lens at which you look through when you talk to people, and that is that of image bearer. So you really treat your job as an act of worship to God. And in the July 31st entry of your book, Working for the Lord, you talk a little bit about that.
Well, you've got to remind me what it actually says. I don't
Yeah,
have the book in
that's
front of me.
A-okay. The
365 days.
verse is from Colossians 3, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance for you serve the Lord Jesus. And it talked about a retail chain that went bankrupt and closed its doors for good after several decades of robust business. There are controversies regarding why it went belly up, and it should be no surprise that some serious allegations of a lack of integrity were made. That's the devotion story.
I think that, one of the, and that came from a friend of mine who actually worked for the company. And the idea was that, if you were, it becomes, this is another issue of authority. You're not just working for yourself. You're not working for your just bank account. When you are working, you have to understand that ultimately you're working for the Lord and what his plan is for commerce and business. In the larger picture, it's all God's money. you know, he has gifted you with this ability to make money, but not for the purpose of hoarding it, but for the purpose of blessing other people. It doesn't mean you have to live like a hermit and give all your money away, but there has got to be a balance. And so are your business practices in line with God's plan for humanity? Like I said, a business does not necessarily mean you have to have a charity, but you look at the examples of things like Hobby Lobby, you know, and Chick-fil-A, and businesses that were basically founded on the principle that it is God's money, that I have an obligation to serve God first. This is the question of authority. It's also the question of purpose. And I think one of the big questions that I always get, that I always hear from people, and it was certainly, you know, Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is really, really just got to the crux of that, was why are you here? You know, what is the purpose of God? Now, the big picture is we're here to glorify God. But then, you know, as it applies to each person specifically, now you've got these specific talents. You know, why do I have this talent of playing the piano if I can't be a big concert pianist? Or why do I have the ability to play tennis or, you know, run marathons or design beautiful fashions or something? And so every time you work, it's to glorify God. So within the parameters, that sets the parameter of what you should and should not be doing in work. And a lot of times it's easier to please, you know, shareholders than it is to please God. And mm-hmm. you make decisions about your business depending on who you ultimately are serving. And I think that's the point, is that, you know, are you really serving God in your decision making about the business? Like I said, it's not that you have to, you know, give all your money away. That's not the point. The point is, are you honoring God with it in all your business practices? And I think that's, you know, when decisions are made that hurt people for no other reason than because, you know, hedge funds want to make a lot of money, then that's a problem. You know, I mean, I remember the movie, Wall Street?
Oh, yeah.
With, it was Charlie Sheen and his boss. It's like, you know, you don't have to break the law to make money. You don't have to. It just means you're not going to make as much money. You know, I mean, that is the idol that we've got to, is that it's okay if I break the law if nobody knows. You see, it used to be on Wall Street and in business and in accounting that you didn't break the law because you would do better at business by abiding by the law. Wall Street, the movie, was illustrating the fact that people could get away with breaking the law if nobody found out about it, and they could make more money. So the whole reason to abide by the law then disappeared. They realized that, you know, once the penalty disappeared, you know, there was no reason, you know, to be honest. And God saying, there is still a reason to be honest because you're ultimately working for me.
Hmm. Well said. Lauren Green is my guest. Her brand new book is called Light for Today. It's a devotional, 365 daily devotions from the Lighthouse. And Lauren, we live in a world today where increasingly we're more driven by feelings than anything. So I would love for you to talk about what life is going to look like if you're rooted in your feelings rather than solid biblical scriptural truths.
Yeah, you know, one of the great songs that I sold when I worked at Schmidt Music Store in Minneapolis was Feelings by Barry Manilow. I remember that song. Do you have feelings? Yes, I have feelings.
Yes.
Feelings are great, great things. God has given us feelings in order for us to understand the world in a certain way. But feelings have to be measured by objective truth. You know, David Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote this incredible book back in the 50s called Truth Unchanged, Unchanging. And he basically talked about the the cult of self-expression. This is back in the 1950s. We're not even talking about the last 20 years, the 1950s. And he just said, you know, passion does not equal truth, that fire makes a great servant, but a bad master. And so feelings really are the fire that can be, that are part of our, that's part of our soul, that if they're left unchecked and unbalanced by actual truth and facts and you know, these kind of barriers, it can get out of control. I think what you've got today in the world is just rampant individualism, where if I feel it, it must be truth. Well, that does, feelings don't equal truth. You know, I can give an example very plainly. Let's say my husband forgets my birthday. He forgot my birthday. My feelings say my husband is insensitive. He's, you know, he's just so focused on himself. And that, okay, those are my feelings are saying that it has nothing to do with why my husband actually might have forgotten my birthday. Maybe it's because his mother's in the hospital and she's dying of cancer or something like that. I mean, I'm making all of that up,
I
but I'm
get that,
just
yeah.
saying, you understand that feelings, you don't have all the facts. We make up stories around our feelings that may or may not be based on the truth. And so that's why, again, scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your mind, heart and mind, trust in the Lord with all, you know, your strength, and do not lean on your own understanding. It's not that you don't think, it's just that you don't have all the facts and the parameters. Feelings can get you into trouble and can draw you down into areas where you're not meant to go. Feelings can make you have relationships with people that you're not meant to have relationships with. Feelings can make you even break up or destroy your marriage when you're not really meant to destroy your marriage, because your feelings are running rampant. And one of the things that balances out the wrong kind of feelings is forgiveness. You know, we are called to forgive. So, but feelings are a really good thing because they help us understand what's important to us. And sometimes what may be important to us may also be what's causing the problem, right? Our feelings towards something may be out of balance, right? I feel very strongly about something, and if I lose it, then my life feels like it's over. Well, that's a disordered love. That's a wrong feeling. You've put too much feeling into something and too much of your self-worth into something that may not be the thing that you should be putting your self-worth into. And so this is another issue that we have, that's part of, you know, just being our sin-based creatures, is that we have these disordered loves, that we are out of balance with things that we really like. It doesn't matter. They don't necessarily have to be bad things. They can actually, and most oftentimes, they are actually good things that have become ultimate things. And that is where feelings do actually get us into trouble. I love my husband, but if my husband is my reason for living, then that becomes a disordered love. I love my job, but if my job is, if I see my job as my very identity in life, then that is a disordered love.
And
All
Lauren,
right.
I think we both enjoyed a Tim Keller sermon on this. And
Yes, exactly.
I think Keller said more or less, disordered love is not that you love something bad, but you love something good too much. So
Yeah.
it becomes disordered. It's a
This is,
powerful,
you know, it's
powerful
all this
thought.
sort of false idolish. And I think when you don't understand the concept of idols and false gods, you think there's some kind of statue that's sitting on a mountain someplace, you know, and that's not really what it is. Idols can be things that are very close to us. They can be work, they can be relationships, they can be children, they can be a lot of stuff that are in our lives, but anything we put before God then becomes a false idol.
Oh, so true. Lauren Green is my guest. She's written a book called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from
the Lighthouse. We're going to take a little break. And Lauren, of course, you know, is the chief religion correspondent for Fox News Channel and has been with the network since 1996. If you have a question for Lauren, you're free to text it over 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Drive time, drive time. Let's get it started. Jump in your car. What's for dinner? It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
Are you a daily devotional reader? I'd be curious to know if you've got one, two, three, maybe even four devotionals around your house. And if you do and you like devotionals, add another one. Lauren Green is my guest. Her brand new devotional is called Light for Today, 365 daily devotionals from the White House. And Lauren, I'm just looking at one from September that talks about identity in Jesus. And talk about just what kind of identity crisis people are in nowadays.
Oh, well, I mean, it's so typical. I mean, it's hard. I mean, we live in an environment where the world is on very strong audiovisual, and especially in a place like New York, where you've got the best of everything right in front of you. You know, the handsomest men, the handsomest women, the richest men, the richest women, the most fashion, the whole ideas. I mean, if the highest priced thing in a you know, in a department store, you know, is like, you know, $100 here, you know, a t-shirt will cost you $500. I mean, it's just, it is, there's no limit to the amount of money that's here and the amount of beauty that's here and the amount of opportunities that are here. So how do you, in a place like New York City, make your identity with Christ? And so I think to see the everyday life of how Jesus operates is the way you do it. In the Lighthouse Faith Book, which is how it all started, I looked at the Ten Commandments. It's not just this arbitrary list of rules and regulations, but an actual description of who God is. And that the first commandment is key to keeping all the other commandments. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. In a closed system sort of way, you can't break commandments 2 through 10 without first breaking number one. And then that becomes basically a closed system. And if you look at how the world operates, it operates basically on this this pattern where there is a seminal point in the system by which everything else must relate to first and then second to everything else in the system. And you get that with music, with the diatonic scale. You get that in architecture with the idea of the right triangle is present in all buildings to hold them up. You get this in biology with the cell. You get this in the orbit or arbitrary system, you know, where the sun is the center of the gravitational pull. You get this in our personal lives as well. So you have to at some point understand and really be honest about what is the thing that without which my life would be meaningless. And then that really gets you focused on what's really compelling you. Is it Jesus or is it something else? And it's hard to understand who this Jesus is unless you start reading his word, unless you understand who he is. My identity has to be with Christ. And that's harder than it sounds. You know, Jesus asks Peter and his apostles, you know, who do people say that I am? And some of them say, you are, you know, Elijah come back to life, you're this and this. And then he asks, but who do you say that I am? And Peter asks, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that is by revelation that you've said that, because Jesus knows that Peter will later deny him 3 times. And so Jesus knows that even though Peter knows that he's the Son of the living God, he's still a child, a sinful child of this natural world. And those two warring factions are going to be with us all the time. So that's when you say, okay, where's my identity? Is my identity with Christ, or is my identity with something else? And I think that, you know, think about after the resurrection, you know, Peter sees Jesus, and Jesus asks him now three times, do you love me? And each time he asks him that question, you go, why does he keep asking him the question? He asks him the question three times, because that's how many times Peter denied him. So with each question, Jesus is asking him, is letting him crush and negate his previous denials. So I think the idea is that, you know, Jesus understands that we are human. He understands that we may not understand who he is all the time, but that's why we have to know who he is. A lot of people reject Christians. A lot of people reject Jesus, not because they're rejecting the Jesus that they know. They're just kind of rejecting Christians and what they think Christians are. But they have never really understood who Jesus is. But Jesus is always asking the question, but who do you say that I am? And he's challenging all of us to really understand who he is. If Jesus is who he says he is, then it really does change everything. If you kind of, you know, sort of want Jesus to be this teacher of love and that's how you want it to be, you know, you've got to face the fact that what you're really asking is that you don't want any other authority over your life other than your own. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you were made for.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I think if you want to be intellectually honest, you've got to understand who this Jesus is. I've been so fascinated with interviews of former atheists who very, very smart people who basically used their skills to try to debunk Christianity and came away believers.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Because they actually did the intellectual work,
mm-hmm.
Like actually going through all of the historical information, all of the, forensic analysis, all the scientific analysis, and came away absolute believers. And I would challenge people that if you have rejected Jesus, that perhaps you have not rejected the real Jesus.
Amen. Well said, Lauren Green. So when I think of this line you've talked about with authority, and I love that. I have a regular guest named Dr. Greg Borgon who says often, ask the question, who has that privileged place of authority in your life? Is it Jesus or is it someone else? And I think that's a great question to ask. But when we live today in a world that's full of worry and stress, anxiety, isolation, Lauren, talk about how important it is to not only to be connected to the Word, but also connected to fellowship.
Oh my gosh. You know, again, I use New York as an example. I mean, we live in an apartment, you know, we live literally on top of one another, but we live in probably the loneliest city in the world where you can be around millions of people and still be lonely. So the Word of God is really our lifeline to reality. And I know that sounds a little weird for people who just want a sort of a vague sort of spirituality. But the idea is that God's word is our path to true reality of what the world is and was meant to be, and how we are kind of living, as C.S. Lewis talked about, in a kind of war zone, you know, listening to the wireless of what's happening, you know, and that's, you know, how the Bible is. If you are alone, the scripture can make a prison feel like a palace because of the wealth of understanding of the real world. Of just reading the book by Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place, and how she was in prison for trying to protect Jews in Holland. Mm-hmm. And she talks about, you know, finally getting a copy of the New Testament and had to hide it under her mattress because it just made her life become alive to read God's word, to read that comfort, to know where she was heading, and to be able to endure what she was enduring because of the Bible, because of God's word. And I think loneliness is something we all experience to a certain degree, but if we look at loneliness at opportunities to become closer to God, then it opens a whole new world.
It does.
But you're right. We are not meant to be in isolation. We are meant to be in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, social media is not a relationship. I want people to understand that having, you know, 300 followers or 5,000 friends on Facebook is not a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people can you actually go to lunch with or have coffee with
exactly.
in person?
Exactly. Yeah, big difference.
You know, I have a friend of mine who's a New York tour guide, and she wrote a beautiful story about 9/11 when she actually reconnected with Christ. She and her husband lived in a nice high-rise apartment in the lower Manhattan, very well-to-do, luxury, two kids, husband, wife, no kids, one dog. And the second plane hit like 500 feet below her.
Oh my.
Basically saw it go through, and it knocked her to the floor. She's in her nightgown, and now they're both running. Now they're running in a way, not knowing what's happening, not knowing if we're at war, and thinking, and they're at the end of Manhattan and Battery Park, and the only place to go now is in the Hudson River. And she realized, my life may end right now. And she looked to her husband, and she said, what do we do? And he got on his knees and just started to pray, Our Father, who's now in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And, you know, that is when you understand that God is the only thing you have, that really just defines and crystallizes this God who you realize you may meet right now.
It's so true. Lauren Green is my guest. She's written a book called Light for Today, a 365 daily devotion from the Lighthouse. We'll take a little break and be right back. Hi, this is Bill Arnold. I can't believe how much I love podcasts. They're always ready, always available, whenever you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're out for a walk with the dog, or if you are at the gym, or if you're driving and you want to listen to a podcast at any time, there they are, ready and waiting for you. One of the great things about podcasts is listeners, supporters like you make it all possible. And because of our spring fundraising event, now would be a perfect time for you to say, yes, I can make a contribution to this because I love podcasts. You can give right now by clicking the link in the show notes, or you can go to myfaithradio.com. Thanks and enjoy the podcast. My guest today is Lauren Green. She is a Fox News religion correspondent and author of the book Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. And if you get a copy of this lovely book, you will find her insights on God's overcoming power, God's will in your life, discerning good from evil, and learning about the most loving Father, and speaking truth in love. And of course, when you do that, Lauren, it does create conflict among people, but you say that love protects our relationships.
Ultimately, they do protect your relationships, but protect them in the way that may not feel fuzzy and warm. Love is a complicated emotion. It's a complicated idea. The actual love is an act of your will. We think of love as falling off a cliff. You know, I'm falling in love and I just feel it. And, you know, why do you love that person? I don't know. I just feel it. It's like, well, to truly love a person, you have to truly know them. And one of the implications of that is that most of us don't really truly know our spouses when we get married. But if we understand who God understands them to be, or see them in God's light, now that helps us understand how to relate to them in certain ways. You know, like Gary Chapman's book, the Five Love Languages, and understanding the love languages, and that can get you through a lot. But I think that love, like freedom, is a very complicated idea. that people don't realize is complicated. Freedom, by its very nature, requires sacrifice, requires restrictions, and that's a paradox, really.
Mm-hmm.
Love also requires that you may do something that may give people discomfort. And of course, that's a paradox. Parent loves a child. They're not going to let them have, cake for dinner every night. Well, you know, or whatever food that's not good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the child thinks that the parent is being mean, but the parent knows they're being loving. So love is a very complicated idea. In today's world, I don't think it has the complexity that it really is. And certainly God's love is built on God's order. I mean, if you think about it, God is love, right? So God created the world. What did he create first? Order, law, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he created order and law in order to have a proper home for us to live in. So law is a product of love, right? Because God is love. And out of his love, he created the world. So we have to expand our understanding of love in the sense like C.S. Lewis did in The Four Loves. Not every love is meant to be sexual. So we have to really expand our understanding of love, that it does not mean that everything you love, you have to marry, or everything you love has to have to sex with. It's mm-hmm. a very much broader understanding of true love.
Mm-hmm. When I go to the love verse, I go to the lesser known John 3:16 verse, which is 1 John 3:16, that says this, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and
yes.
we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. There's love.
Right. And if we truly love God, like 1 John talks about, then we obey God.
Right.
You know, part of our act of loving God is to obey God. And we don't think in those terms because, of course, that becomes an authority. And in an individualistic society, we don't like authority. We like autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
But that is how God made us, to bow down to him. And if we're not bowing down to him, we're bowing down to something.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're bowing down to our own authority, then that creates problems right there. For that reason, you perhaps, you know, your independence is what you're actually worshiping, which means if your independence is what you're worshiping, you're not going to be making commitments to work, to family, to whatever. I mean, there are a lot of issues with, not recognizing what you're actually worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
So God has a plan for everybody. And, you know, you really, in order to know yourself, you have to know God. And that's what J.I. Packer's book is all about, knowing God.
Mm-hmm. You talk about other people's books, so you got to let me talk about your book because we're running out of time here. And your book is Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. The author is Lauren Green. She's been my guest. Lauren, I want to just ask you to make a comment to people who are listening maybe right now that feel distant from God, or they're not feeling that God is hearing their prayers. What words of encouragement would you have for them?
I would say that, first of all, don't stop praying to God. Don't stop communicating with God. You know, the Psalms are just filled with human emotions, running the gamut of anger, love, frustration, anxiety, loneliness, all of those things, but they never stop talking to God. I think that's very important. God knows your heart. God knows your pain. I remember when I broke my elbow and I was waiting in the emergency room, and my dad came in and I looked up from the gurney and I said, "Daddy, it hurts." He said, "Yeah, baby, I know."
Oh.
And I think that if you look at God, your Father, that way, to look and just say, don't try to make some kind of, you know, ordered prayer. Just say, "Daddy, it hurts."
Yeah.
And let God order your life and let God come into your life. And he'll say, "Yes, I know."
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work it out.
Lauren,
we're going to work it out.
We only have about 90 seconds left, and I want to hear about your podcast, Lighthouse Faith, and I want to authorize and allow people to listen to it after they listen to the Afternoons with Bill Arnold podcast.
Yes. Well, the podcast, you can get it on Fox News Radio. It's called Lighthouse Faith, and we talk to a whole slew of different people. I love interviewing scientists and theologians and sociologists, but all doing their work to the glory of God. Like I said, you know, someone like, J. Warner Wallace or Nancy Piercy or Mary Eberstadt or Lee Strobel. We've got a plethora of people talking about various things. Sometimes it's, you know, really deep things. Sometimes it's just fun things.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's all about the glory of God and holding up whatever you're doing as honoring God.
Yeah. Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show. So nice to hear your voice.
That's great. Thank you so much. A blessing.
You bet. Lauren Green's been my guest. Her book is called Light for Today, 365 Daily Devotions from the Lighthouse. That wraps up our show for the day and for the week. Thank you for supporting Faith Radio. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.